This is the KHMB Radio Magazine. Community news, information, features, and entertainment. The KHMB Radio Magazine is brought to you by
Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees and fresh baked goods.
And by Cameron's Restaurant, Pub & Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's, your home away from home.
And by Kelly Morlock of Edward Jones Financial Advisors. Kelly Morlock can help you manage your wealth and retirement needs.
And by Shepherd Family Dentistry. Shepherd Family Dentistry, where they bring your smile to life.
And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
Would you please make your selection and leave?
I have.
What do you want to take out?
The librarian.
Shh. Oh, what can I do, my dear, to catch your ear? I love you madly, madly, Madam Librarian. Marion, heaven help us if the library caught on fire. And the volunteer hose brigade men had to whisper the news to Marion.
Librarian, forever associated with hair in a bun and frameless glasses perched on a nose, staring with disapproval at a group of noisy children hiding in the canyons of literature. Of course, that is the stereotype of librarians. This is Bill Wood, and I have two guests today, actually, but my first is Annie Malley, Community Library Manager for our own Half Moon Bay Library. Welcome, Annie.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you'll pardon the analogy, you were about to end a chapter in your life with your retirement as the librarian for the Half Moon Bay Library. What first attracted you to the pantheon of books?
Well, actually, my local public library, of course. Everybody has a connection, whether it's their bookmobile or their local public library. And mine wasn't the Milton Marks Library then, but now it's the Milton Marks Library. And it was a place that I spent a lot of time. So that is the first piece. The second was I was a history and political science major, and I love doing research. Had to do a lot of writing, but I really love doing research. So it often would take me a while to stop doing research and actually get to the writing part of it. So being a librarian let me just constantly do research. I really enjoy that. And then I guess the other piece is just I really enjoy supporting people and helping people find what they need. And so being a librarian lets me do all of that.
Well, I played a little clip from The Music Man, Marion the Librarian, at the very beginning. Things have come a long way from the Dewey Decimals to digital. In your career of now some 20 years, what was the biggest change you observed?
Libraries, they have always adapted and they've always changed. And then they've also always been community hubs. There may be big physical changes, like the old library was a very different place than the temporary library on Shoreline Station was really different. And then the new library is a sort of amazing resource with community rooms that are busy all the time and a makerspace. But it's still, deep down, it's always still a community hub where people come and meet with their neighbors and find answers to questions and learn new things. So it's interesting that we constantly change, but we're still providing sort of the same root services, is supporting people with their needs.
We're all familiar with that classic image of the library, the columns towering into the vaulted ceilings and long wood chests with all those trays and the little tiny cards. Tell us about what you think the library of the 21st century is.
Continuing on that sort of same theme, that we're always evolving, that we're, always listening and responding and adapting to the needs of our community. Yes, there's a lot of online resources. We've always been changing. We've always been incorporating new technology. Maybe our changes are a little bit faster, bringing in a lot of new technology faster, but we are always there to help people usher in the next resource information that they're looking for.
And you were a significant usher when it came to getting our new library. How did you lead the community understanding what it was really going to be?
There was a lot of work before me. I mean, I think there was probably 20, 25 years of work trying to get a new library before I came. And so I really appreciate all that work that was done before me. And then all of our partners that worked to get the library built, the Friends of the Half Moon Bay Library, the city, the San Mateo County Libraries, obviously, and then all of our community partners. It really was a community effort to get the library built. So many people were involved. And so I guess my role was just to keep the topic moving, working with all of these partners, keep people thinking about this dream of this new library, and then also listening to the needs and the desires and what people wanted to see in a new library. We held 26 formal community meetings. We had lots of other types of meetings where we had an opportunity to hear what people wanted. And probably one of my favorite days would have been when the library opened. On that day, it was really exciting to see people come in and sort of point to things that they had talked about in community meetings. So many people saw things in the building that they had wished for, and we were able to make it happen.
And with the new library, what would you think was the most innovative feature?
Let's see, the makerspace. That we were the first makerspace for San Mateo County Libraries, now Millbrae, Belmont, Brisbane have makerspaces. But we were the first. A space where people can come and try out different technologies and different types of making tools, sewing, 3D printing, laser cutting, virtual reality, a whole variety of resources and staff that can support people in their adventure with different technology. Definitely the other innovative things with San Mateo County Library is our Library of Things. You can try out these things in the makerspace, but we also have a variety of things. So people can take sewing machines home or Wi-Fi hotspots if they need internet connectivity, county and city park passes if they want to go out on a walk, karaoke machines, bicycles, board games, both electronic and traditional, puzzles, blood pressure cuffs, a wide variety of things that people can come and borrow from the library.
You are going to retire on October 25th, and I assume you're not just going to turn into a pumpkin. What's coming next?
So I love connecting with our patrons at the info desk and hearing all of the amazing things that they have been doing. So where they volunteer, where they travel, where they garden, where they hike, where they read, etc. Now it's my turn. So I have learned so much from our patrons, and I have compiled a very long list of what exciting things they have been doing that I get to do once I retire.
I want to thank you for visiting us today, and I wish you the best success in your future endeavors.
Thank you so much. It was really wonderful taking the time to talk with you. And one group that I might have forgot to mention, which is so important, and that's the library staff. It's been a joy serving the community and a joy working with library staff to make this library what it is.
I've been speaking with Annie Malley, Community Library Manager for our Half Moon Bay Library. And now I'm going to turn to the person who will be the new guide for our library, Julie Smith, currently Community Library Manager for Pacifica. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you for having me.
We understand that you are coming down the coast to manage our library, but this is not the first time you've provided your library skills in Half Moon Bay. Tell us about that.
I've been with the San Mateo County Libraries for about 6 years now. In December of 2019, I was actually hired by Annie to be the Youth Services Librarian at Half Moon Bay. And I did that for a couple of years through the pandemic, getting to know the community and working with the staff. I was then promoted to Senior Librarian and moved to Belmont for a short while, but I couldn't stay away from Half Moon Bay. So back I was at Half Moon Bay as a Senior Librarian. Did that for a couple more years, got a promotion as a manager, transferred to Pacifica. Had a wonderful time here getting to know this community and learning how to be a manager. And now that Annie is retiring, I'm looking forward to being back in Half Moon Bay.
Well, it must be exciting to come to a new library. What do you consider to be the best features of our facility here?
The library is beautiful, and I love the natural light that comes through. It just makes the library so bright and inviting. Aside from that, what I really love about the library is that it has all of these little places for people to come together and collaborate. We have study rooms. You can get together with somebody, have a meeting. There are quiet spaces for you to do study. You can gather a big group group in the community rooms. Kids can play outside. And, of course, our wonderful children's area is just a great place for parents to come and meet and for kids to have a lot of fun.
Your background includes a master's degree in library science, which comes as no surprise, but you also have degrees in biochemistry and pharmacy. How did you move from the laboratory to the bookshelves?
Oh, good question.
That's my job.
So I did work as a pharmacist for a couple of years after graduating, and then I raised a family. So I stopped working. I was a stay-at-home mom raising three children, and while they were going to school, I volunteered at all of the libraries in each of the schools. So elementary level, middle school level, high school level. And I really enjoyed it. And it just matched with how I grew up, loving libraries. Once the kids were old enough to be just all in school and on their own, I went back to get my degree in library science and went from there.
Many of the programs you've mentored have been programming for youth and families. How do you see that focus in our community?
I mean, we are always focused on having lots of interesting and fun youth and family programming. Currently, the youth services librarian in Half Moon Bay is a lifelong resident. Her name is Sabrina. She grew up in Half Moon Bay, and she's been working at the library for a long time, even though she's very young. She started when she was a teenager. Many of our staff are like that. We're very invested in the community and have a strong emphasis on reaching out to youth and families, and not just bringing people inside the library, but going out to the schools and doing community events and making sure that people know about our services inside and outside the library.
Outside the library, and probably inside it as well, we have a screen-dominated world. Now, how do you draw those people, those designated generations, X, millennials, Z, Alpha, whatever they're going to call them next, how do you get their interest in the library itself?
Luckily, we have a lot of staff who are interested in various things themselves. So the beautiful library has a wonderful makerspace, and many staff have offered various programs that can bring out their creativity in anyone. So we have an art studio going, open makerspace, open sewing, as well as different sewing projects that you can come in and do. So there's just like a whole variety of programs that we can do that are hands-on and fun that bring people together.
Artificial intelligence, of course, is our topic of the day. Any ideas how it will impact the library world?
Another great question. I know that San Mateo County Libraries is looking to see how we can incorporate AI, not in just being able to help patrons navigate and use it wisely and ethically, but also to see if we can integrate it into our systems and make daily life easier. You know, can we use it to streamline some of the things that we do on the back end? And can we all learn how to use it so that patrons are using it efficiently and we're using it efficiently and making, maybe even taking advantage of the generative AI capability. As librarians, we do like to embrace technology, and so that's how we're doing it today.
We're certainly hoping that it can be used in a positive manner, and then when you walk in, that's the place you see it positive right off the bat in our library. Well, I want to thank you for joining us today. You're going to be a busy person shortly, and I definitely want to extend a welcome, actual return to Half Moon Bay.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have been visiting with Julie Smith, who will soon be coming to our community as the new community library manager for our Half Moon Bay Library.
If they ask me, I could write a book.
And the nice thing is that today you can write a book. There are tremendous tools available online, but do not forget the library. There you will find true exploration of centuries of thought and facts that, in a world of endless copying, will give you the opportunity to create a truly original work. For the feature story of the week, this is Bill Wood.
Our thanks to KHMB contributor Bill Wood for yet another great feature story of the week. And for Radio Magazine, this is Jim Henderson. 25 years, a quarter of a century. That's how far back we are going this week, thanks to the KHMB Time Machine,
and host Cameron Palmer. Back to the year 2000 in just moments, courtesy of your one and only hometown station. This is Coastside Radio, your community, your voice.
You've been listening to the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. Know someone who deserves to be recognized in the community? Call us today at 453-4000 or email us news@khmbradio.com.
This is the home of Radio Magazine. Locally produced shows heard exclusively on AM 1710 and 100.9 FM.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
And now, the AM 1710 Time Machine with host Cameron Palmer.
We take a ride back 25 years to the year 2000. Do you remember what you were doing then? Well, checking the archives of the Half Moon Bay Review, Coastal Commission certifies tunnel. The tunnel at Devil's Slide took another step forward as the California Coastal Commission voted unanimously to certify the tunnel as consistent with the Coastal Act. And big enough for first place, it didn't match up to last year's record, but Kirk Mombert's 940-pound gourd came close. Last year, 1,140-pound winner. It was the best of the lot at this year's recent weigh-off. And good grades for Cabrillo District Schools. Academic Performance Index scores just released for Cabrillo District Schools exceeded state standards for improvement. And now for a little history in the making from my restaurant, Cameron's Pub. Hey, I want to talk about a new business on Main Street, the new T-Shore Tea House. Many of you remember the Village Green. We were sad to see that close. We used to go there with the family for many years. But we now have a charming tea house on Main Street, Half Moon Bay. It's called By the T-Shore. The decor is incredibly charming, and owner Angela collected all the vintage pieces for over 15 years for all to enjoy. She stored them for years at Bob's BK Motor Storage Facility, but broke them out for her new store here, her new T-Shore place on Main Street. Her soft opening was packed, and Angela wore a vintage jacket that she purchased at our new opened-up double-decker bargain bus. Talk about keeping all the money in the town. I love this. There are many teas to choose from, arriving in teapots covered in floral tea cozies. The scones are outstanding and served with homemade lemon curd, clotted cream, and homemade jam. Open at 8 to 11 for breakfast and 11 to 3 for lunch and high tea. Look for the Pink House on Main Street and tell them Cameron sent you. Keep calm and tea on. People are worried over concerns that the end of the year, being called Y2K, will bring serious widespread computer failures and malfunctions as we enter the 21st century. Meanwhile, when it comes to cost of living, a gallon of gas is $1.26, loaf of bread, $1.72, a dozen eggs, 89 cents, and a postage stamp was 33 cents. Major news events. Tiger Woods becomes the youngest player to win the Grand Slam in golf. The worst brush fire in 50 years destroys over 5 million acres in the western U.S. Republican challenger George W. Bush defeats Democratic Vice President Al Gore, but the final outcome is not known for over a month because of disputed votes in Florida. In popular culture, 51 million viewers watched the first season finale of the reality show Survivor, and the winners at the box office include Castaway, Gladiator, The Perfect Storm, and X-Men. In the music world, this British pop group formed in 1998 by Simon Fuller after he was fired as manager of the Spice Girls. Here's the S Club and their top 10 hit, Never Had a Dream Come True.
Everybody's got something they had to leave behind.
One regret from yesterday that just seems to grow with time. There's no use looking back or wondering how it could be now or might have been. All this I know, but still I can't find ways to let you go. I never had a dream come true.
Songwriter, a pianist, launched his career as a jingle writer for the advertising campaigns. From the album My Romance, An Evening with Jim Brickman, here's The Love I Found in You.
Face to face, oh, I know I've found my place. that's the love I found. Once in every life, you find the one that's right. Say forever, it's true. That's the love I found in you. And you are strong when I am weak. You are the words when I can't speak. You never fail to see me through. That's the love I found.
What year will the time machine stop at next week? I'm ready for the ride if you are. This is Cameron Palmer. Thanks for listening.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
This is the home of Radio Magazine. Locally produced shows heard exclusively on AM 1710 and 100.9 FM.
Welcome to Financial Focus with host Kelly Morlock of Edward Jones in Half Moon Bay.
Hi, everybody. This is Kelly Morlock of Edward Jones, and this is this week's Financial Focus, a retiree's guide for National Financial Security Month. If you're retired, it's easy to let your finances go on autopilot. Since October is National Retirement Security Month, it's a good time to revisit some areas that can impact your long-term financial security and help your money last a lifetime. Consider these suggestions. First, manage your withdrawal rate. You'll likely need to tap into your retirement accounts, your IRA and 401k or similar employee-sponsored plan. But think carefully about how much income you withdraw every year. If you take out too much, especially in the early years of your retirement, you'll risk outliving your resources. You have the option of withdrawing from these accounts at age 59 and a half. Once you turn 73, you'll be required to take out at least a certain amount each year, based on your age and account balance. Next, estimate healthcare costs. When you turn 65, you'll be eligible for Medicare, but you may still need a Medicare supplement plan, both of which will require premium payments. You'll probably also incur a variety of other unreimbursed expenses for doctor visit copays or deductibles, prescription drugs, and vision, hearing, and dental care. Additionally, about 70% of adults ages 65 and older will need some form of long-term support, according to the Department of Health and Human Services. This may include a paid home health aide with an average cost of $77,792 per year, or an assisted living residence with an average cost of $70,500 per year, or nursing home care with a private room average cost of $127,750 per year. Cost estimates are from Genworth 2024 Cost of Care Survey. Over the course of your retirement, these can add up, so be realistic when budgeting for healthcare expenses in retirement. Next, consider when to take Social Security. You can start receiving monthly Social Security checks at age 62, but your payments will generally be larger if you wait until your full retirement age of 66 or 67. The size of your payments will actually max out at age 70. If you believe you have longevity working in your favor and you can afford to wait, you may well be better off by delaying Social Security as long as possible. Next, avoid investing too conservatively. Once you're retired, you might think you should take as few chances with your investments as possible. After all, you have less time for them to bounce back from a downturn than you did during your working years. Nonetheless, it's important to consider keeping a reasonable percentage of growth-oriented investments in your portfolio to help you stay ahead of inflation. Even at a low rate, inflation can erode your purchasing power over time. Finally, keep your generosity in check. If you have grown children who need financial help or grandchildren heading to college someday, you'll no doubt like to do what you can to assist them. However, the hard truth is that they have more time than you to find workable financial solutions. Whereas if you deplete your funds through your generosity, you could put yourself in a precarious situation. So be as giving as you can afford, but try not to go beyond that. By preserving your financial independence, you'll end up benefiting your family as well. Retirement is ideally an enjoyable time in your life, especially if you feel financially stable. So take the time to check in periodically to keep that stability on track. This is Kelly Morlock with Edward Jones.
This content was provided by Edward Jones. For use by Kelly Morlock, your Edward Jones financial advisor, at 650-726-9133.
This is the home of Radio Magazine, locally produced shows heard exclusively on AM 1710 and 100.9 FM.
This is Keeping Pace with Your Health, a weekly show featuring guest hosts speaking on a variety of health-related issues. Keeping Pace with Your Health is brought to you by Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, Half Moon Bay. And now, this week's guest host.
Fear and stress are part of life. But what if I told you they don't have to be roadblocks? What if fear isn't something to overcome, but something to work with? Many of us may be carrying stress from the holidays, work life, or just life in general. Maybe it's fear of change, uncertainty, or stepping into something new. I'm Dennis Kearney from Deep Wisdom Life Coaching, and today on Keeping Pace with Your Health, I would love to share 5 dream building tips to help you befriend your fear and use it as fuel for growth and resilience. The Dream Builder Program is a proven step-by-step system for turning your dreams into reality, whether that's improving your health, relationships, or career. As a certified Dream Builder coach, I've seen firsthand how these principles can transform lives. Stay tuned. I'll give you my 5 Dream Builder tips to help you make friends with your fear after this word from Shepherd Family Dentistry.
This is Dr. Brian Shepherd. Do you snore or have trouble sleeping? If so, you may have obstructive sleep apnea. If untreated, obstructive sleep apnea can lead to stroke, heart problems, high blood pressure, and diabetes. Shepherd Family Dentistry can arrange a home sleep study connected with a specialized MD for diagnosis and customize a discrete appliance to alleviate symptoms and provide restful sleep. We can bill medical insurance and Medicare. If you would like to learn more, call us at 726-3355 or visit us at shepherddentist.com. You can get a good night's sleep, and I would like to show you how.
Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, phone 726-3355. Shepherd Family Dentistry.
Where we bring your smile to life.
Hi, this is Dennis Kearney from Deep Wisdom Life Coaching, and today on Keeping Pace with Your Health, here are 5 Dream Builder tips to help you befriend your fear and use it as fuel for growth and resilience. Tip number 1, don't let fear have you, befriend it. Fear isn't the enemy. It's a sign that you're on your growing edge. In Dream Builder, we talk about how fear only shows up when you're stepping towards something bigger. It's proof that you're expanding beyond what's familiar. The key isn't to eliminate fear. It's to befriend it. When fear arises, instead of saying, this means I shouldn't move forward, say, this means I'm growing. Tip number 2, reframe fear as energy. Fear and excitement feel the same in the body. Heart racing, butterflies in your stomach, tension in your chest. In Dream Builder, we learn to shift how we interpret this energy. Instead of saying, I'm so afraid, try saying, I'm feeling energy. I'm ready for this. That simple reframe can shift your experience from anxiety to empowerment. Fear loses its grip when we stop labeling it as something negative. What if fear isn't holding you back? What if it's pushing you forward? Tip number 3, fear dissipates when you take action. Here's the truth. You don't have to wait till you're not afraid to take the next step. If you do, you might wait forever. In Dream Builder, we teach that action is the antidote to fear. The moment you move forward toward what you want, No matter how small the step, fear starts to fade. Make the call. Sign up for the class. Start that workout. Prove to yourself that you can do hard things. Each step builds momentum. Tip number 4, breathe and ground yourself in the present. Fear thrives in the unknown. It lives in the what ifs and the worst case scenarios. But here's the thing. Right now, in this moment, you are safe. Here's a simple dream builder practice. Take a deep breath in for 4 counts. Hold that breath for 4 counts. Exhale for 4 counts. Repeat. This exercise grounds you in the present, where your power lies. When you're present, you're no longer reacting to fear. You're consciously choosing your response. And tip 5. Fear and faith are the same energy. Choose faith in yourself. One of the core teachings of Dream Builder is this. Fear and faith both ask you to believe in something you can't see yet. Fear believes in failure, in obstacles, in what could go wrong. Faith believes in possibility, growth, and your own strength. So ask yourself, which one do you want to believe in? Fear isn't something to run from. It's something to move through. When you recognize fear as a signal for growth, reframe it as energy. Take action. Stay present. And choose faith. You start to build resilience, confidence, and real momentum. If you're ready to stop letting fear hold you back, I'd love to talk with you. You can find me at deepwisdomlifecoaching.com. Let's turn fear into fuel and make 2025 a year of unstoppable growth. I'm Dennis Kearney, and this has been Keeping Pace with Your Health. Until next time, remember, befriend your fear and turn it into a stepping stone.
This has been Keeping Pace with Your Health, a weekly show devoted to important health topics. Keeping Pace with Your Health has been brought to you by Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, Half Moon Bay. Shepherd Family Dentistry, where they bring your smile to life.
This is the home of Radio Magazine, locally produced shows heard exclusively on AM 1710 and 100.9 FM.
On the carousel. On the carousel.
Coastside Carousel. The show devoted to spotlighting the groups and artists that make up our local musical entertainment community.
Coastside Carousel is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Inn. Cameron's, good food and good times for the entire family.
Hi, everybody. This is Kelly Morlock, subbing in on Coastside Carousel once again. I've got Michael Ahern in here talking about his new project, Grateful Heart. I'm so excited to share some of this music that's not even released yet with you guys. But first, of course, we need to thank Cameron of Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn as our sponsor. He's got that great place to hang out, have good food, have some good beverages, have good times with your friends, hear live music at Ari's Open Mic every Thursday night, and you get to be the star at Karaoke Fridays and Saturdays. So Cameron, thank you for all you do. And Michael, thank you for being with us in the studio today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Kelly. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so excited for you to share with everybody this great project you're bringing to the Coastside and to the world in general.
Well, thank you. I should begin by letting you know that October the 11th at the Old Princeton Landing, starting at 3 o'clock, is when the Grateful Heart Band will take the stage from 3 until 4:30 out back. It'll take a little break, and then the Pardon the Interruption band, a great band out of the North Bay, is going to come, and they're going to perform from 5 to 6:30. Yeah, so we're 3 to 4:30, and they play from 5 to 6:30. And they're so much fun. David Noble is the guitarist in that project, and he's a dear friend. So it'll be fun to not only share a stage with them, but also enjoy their music, too.
That's great. Well, OPL is Old Princeton Landing is a great place to hear music. It's all ages and kids are free, you said?
For the show, yeah. We want to open the door and get as many folks in as we can to enjoy this music and also, you know, enjoy that beautiful outdoor patio and out in the back on a fall afternoon. It's going to be great.
It is going to be great.
Right. So tickets are for sale in advance, and you can get them through the Old Princeton Landing website. They're also available on our website, the same link to an Eventbrite ticket site, if you will, and that's gratefulheartband.com.
Okay.
So they're available there. And then, of course, they'll be available day of the show. And kids are free. Did I mention that? I'll probably try to mention it several times because I want as many kids there as we can.
Kids under 12?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. And you know, if you're a kid at heart, I don't know if that counts, but.
Well, you probably want to make a little bit of money.
Well, we have to. You know, when you produce a band and you bring it out on the road, and in this case, two different bands, we're traveling and, you know, we're staging and we're performing and we're breaking down. We have a sound engineer who also works very, very hard, has lots of equipment and stuff. And yeah, we'd like to make a little money, you know.
And is it also a fundraiser?
Well, it is in a unique way. Every place that the Grateful Heart goes and plays, my band, we have a philanthropic relationship with the community. So for Half Moon Bay, it's Abundant Grace, which is an organization here that, as you know, they're celebrating, I believe, their 10th anniversary.
I think you're
year.
Right. Yeah. Eric Devote's done a great job over there.
Yes, he has. And transcendence through work and work experience, helping folks that are homeless find meaningful work and to help them elevate the quality of their life. We like to align that same messaging with the music that we perform. The Grateful Heart has a thematic element to it. All the songs are about the human condition and elevating people's awareness for love for themselves and for the community that's around them. So
let's take a listen.
Sounds great.
Yeah, the first song we're going to listen to is off their yet-to-be-released album called Grateful Heart.
Well, no, this, let's listen to the first song is Silly. So all the songs on the Heart-Shaped World album.
Let's talk a little bit about on the other side so people can get a little listen now.
Oh, okay.
We've been talking long enough right now.
Okay.
Awesome. Thanks so much. All right, folks, this is Kelly Morlock on Coastside Carousel. We have our guest Michael Ahern in the studio with us, and we just listened to a song called Silly by his Grateful Heart Band. Tell us a little bit about this song and all the great music you guys are doing.
Well, thank you. So the Grateful Heart Project is a project that I started about a year and a half ago where I decided to write and create all original material. For the first time in almost two decades, since my Drive album. And I chose a thematic element that I felt I wanted to really connect to, you know, something that I felt had a personal meaning, and but also something that was more universal too. And so I chose the concept of love, and so I decided I was going to write songs about love or the absence of love, right? Looking at the world through the lens of love. And so I decided it would be called the album Heart-Shaped World. And so then I began the process of writing songs about different ways that love comes into the world. And one of the ways is that at least it certainly has in mine and many people's lives, that sort of rush to romance, that time or two in our lives where we meet someone and there's this kismet immediately and we just dive in head first without a parachute, right? And you could say that, you know, maybe out of respect for more maturity now, I would look at it as maybe being silly to have done it that way. So that's what that song's about. It's called Silly, and it's about that type of love.
Well, I love being silly, so that's my kind of song and my kind of living, too. That's wonderful. So I love this concept that you're doing. And did you say that you have initially played with this band at the American Jazz Museum?
Well, I recently was in Kansas City just last month, and I had a chance to attend a workshop and spend time at the American History of Jazz Music. It was wonderful. But no, this band, so after I came up with this idea of writing all this original material, I had to figure out where I was going to work, and I needed to build a new soundstage and production studio and recording studio because I'm living up in Sonoma now for most of my time. Still have my home here, but up there, right? So soon after I did that, a friend of mine, a great friend that lives actually right across the road from me, she said, why don't you use my barn? It's yours. So she gave me a barn, and the barn had a name with it, and that's the Grateful Heart. So how weird is that? I'm writing songs about love, right? And she's like, here, take my barn. I love your project. I want to help. It's the barn is known as the Grateful Heart. By the way, hi, Miss Melanie. Thank you. And then I thought to myself, okay, I want to assemble this group of musicians and build a band to play this stuff out, right? So I've been very blessed over the last 20 years. I produce a lot of live music, some festivals and stages and
even
private
the Half
events.
Moon Bay,
the Half Moon Bay
Art
and Pumpkin Festival,
yep,
which is coming up in just a few weeks, right? I'm the director of entertainment there. So I had this sort of list of artists in the Bay Area that I really, really wanted to work with in my career. And so I started making calls and gathering people together and having these sessions at the Grateful Heart. And through that came this amazing group of five other players who, you know, a couple Grammy award winning guy, one guy, a couple Grammys. One guy was, he's toured the world. He was with Greg Allman is his bass guitarist. He's an Alameda All-Star. You know, another guy, session player out of Manhattan, touring artist. I mean, these are really the extraordinary players. And more to the point, they also are great guys. They're just, we get along so well. We laugh. We have fun.
Well, so hopefully your hearts are all grateful to be together.
Well, they all also believe in the project, right?
Yeah.
The messaging, you know, that the songs carry with them. They're very active in their careers, but we gather together. And so the band really became a band about a year ago, you know, maybe 8 months ago.
So you've been working on this for some time.
We have, yeah. And we're just starting now to go out and play live. We played our first live performance in Sonoma on the 20th of August at this beautiful outdoor amphitheater the Sonoma Botanical Garden has, and it was very well received. And so now we're looking at this next performance at Old Princeton Landing on October 11th at 3 o'clock.
That's so exciting. But let's listen to another song.
Sure.
Concrete and Stone is the next one we're going to listen
great.
To. And we'll talk about it on the other side.
Okay.
This is Kelly Morlock on Coastside Carousel and Michael Ahern and the Grateful Heart Band. Kelly Morlock on Coastside Carousel with Michael Ahern in the studio. We just listened to his new project, The Grateful Heart Band, and their song Concrete and Stone. Tell us a little bit about this awesome tune.
Right. Well, there's two really interesting things, to me at least, I find interesting about Concrete and Stone. The first is, again, the idea of having and finding love in the world around us. There are those people in the world that unfortunately don't have love, right? Or in some cases are really hard to love, right? And some of those people live on the streets, right? And this song is called Concrete and Stone because it's about that struggle. It's about those people. And so the messaging really in it is to not step over them or around them or pretend they don't exist, but actually to realize that they do and that they're part of our community, our towns, our cities, right? And if we can find a way to somehow, the toughest love, to love those folks and find ways to elevate their lives, like this wonderful nonprofit, Abundant Grace, that's going to be at our performance on October 11th.
That's what I was just thinking. Yeah,
right.
That's exactly what they do. Eric DeBodie's put together this great program to help people do something productive and make some money.
That are homeless, right?
On the edge somehow.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's what Concrete Stone was written about. But it also, what's kind of cool about it is, this project, I thought, out the gate, I wanted to have a certain musicality to it that was different than the rock and roll and Americana that I've always been part of. So I was really going after that sort of jazz rock melee, that sort of Boss Gags meets Sade, meets Steely Dan, meets Ambrosia, this fusion of 80s, if you will, adult contemporary, right? That's what this album is musically sounds like. And I wanted Michael McDonald to sing on this song, right?
How cool would that
yeah,
be?
Yeah, so on the chorus, you know.
Out in the world.
So I tried to get in touch with Michael, you know.
Of course you did.
But I wound up one night and I just Googling Michael McDonald tribute bands, and there aren't any, but there are Doobie Brothers tribute bands, and I found a guy, Wayne Anthony, where is he? He's in the Pittsburgh area. And I got in touch with him, and he can sing like Michael. So we became friends, and that's who you hear that on that song.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
That's a great story. So where can people find out about when you're playing and then have access to this
GratefulHeartBand.com.
Okay.
We also have a presence on Facebook. We've just started it up. Grateful Heart Band. And, those are right now the two places.
And when do you anticipate releasing this music?
Well, thank you. I'm anticipating February 14th, 2026.
Oh,
Valentine's Day is the official launch day.
Okay.
Hoping to have things, in ship shape prior to that. We're working towards that, but that's the official date. The other place I should mention is my own personal website. You could just type in Michael John Ahern Music and you go to my site. That's MJA Music. But there's also that information there as well.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a listen to the next tune. This is the Grateful Heart Band doing the Sugarloaf Strut.
Yeah, this song is going to be on our album.
Okay.
But it's a live version from 2 weeks ago.
Got it. Oh, even better.
Yeah.
This is fresh stuff, kids.
Yeah,
all right, let's take a listen. Everybody, this is Kelly Morlock on Coastside Carousel. We have Michael John Ahern in the studio with us doing the music of his Grateful Heart Band that's going to be playing at Old Princeton Landing on October 11th at 3 o'clock. You can get tickets ahead of time on their website, the Grateful Heart Band website, too.
GratefulHeartBand.com. You can get tickets. Old Princeton Landing, you can get tickets to the event there as well.
And kids are free.
Kids, it's an all-ages show. Children are encouraged to come. Absolutely.
And it's out back.
And well-behaved dogs.
Well, ooh, yeah. True. That's very important out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got to be well-behaved.
Well-behaved.
Yeah.
The kids, too.
Yes. And then you're playing with another group.
So I invited my friends, pardon the interruption. Dave Noble is one of my guitar heroes. He plays in a band called The Reckless Strangers, which I love. And this is his side project, pardon the interruption. And they're so much fun. So I wanted to partner up for the show. I asked them, and they said yes. So they play right after us.
That's great. And you got to hear a sample of the band right before this segment.
The Grateful Heart Band.
The Grateful Heart Band. Mm-hmm. And their song, Sherlock Strut. And that's just a live tune you guys did at your last gig.
Well, yeah, it's an instrumental. It was written by, unlike all the other songs on the album, this one was written by Dennis Cordelos, my guitarist and my cousin-in-law. How about that, right? So when I moved up to Sonoma, I asked Tim Curley, the entertainment guru in the Valley, who the three best guitar players were, because I wanted to partner up with one of them. And he said, it's the three Davids. Or the three Ds is actually what he said, the three Ds. And I said, okay, who's that? And he goes, well, the first is Dino, the second's Davo, and the third is David. Well, I contacted all three of them. Davo is the late, great David Farrell. He called me back, and we wound up having a wonderful partnership and played for some music before he passed away. Very sad.
Sorry.
The other is David Aguilar, right? And David is an extraordinary musician, kind of the go-to rock and roll guy in Sonoma Valley, and a touring musician, plays with Big Brother and the Holding Company currently now, and the Blues Project. Real talent cat. But the number one guy was the elusive Dino. He never called me back. I heard that he was very elusive. And next thing I know, I find out he's my wife's cousin. So this is his song called Sugarloaf Strut. It's an instrumental, but we play some instrumentals too.
And we're going to take you out with another song from their album called The Mirror. And make sure you check the website for the Grateful Heart Band. Check their Facebook page. Check out Michael John Ahern's Facebook page and all that other good stuff. So you can find out when and where he's going to be playing again. And this supports Abundant Grace, October 11th at Old Princeton Landing. Thank you for being with us.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Thanks, everybody, for listening and putting up with us. And enjoy the song, The Mirror, by the Grateful Heart Band. Thanks, everyone.
Listening to Coastside Carousel, featuring the music and artist of our local entertainment community. For suggestions and comments for the show, call us at 453-4000 or email us carousel@khmbradio.com.
Coastside Carousel has been brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Inn. Visit Cameron's at cameronsinn.com.
You have been listening to the Radio Magazine, heard daily on KHMB. If you have suggestions or comments for the show, call us at 453-4000 or email us magazine@khmbradio.com.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. Christians have always believed that the greatest life-changing experience available to any individual is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and the testimonies of numerous converts confirm the dramatic changes which often accompany salvation. One such testimony of change comes from Founding Father Noah Webster, who explained, "I was led by a spontaneous impulse to repentance, prayer, and entire submission and surrender of myself to my Maker and Redeemer. I now began to understand and relish many parts of the Scriptures which before appeared mysterious and unintelligible. In short, my view of the Scriptures, of religion, of the whole Christian scheme of salvation, and of God's moral government are very much changed. The power of God to change a life yielded to Him was just as evident at the time of the Founding Fathers as it still is today."
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.